We'll open with me in your copy of God's Word to Romans 15. Can you believe that Thursday is Thanksgiving? I can't. For me, it's hard to believe. There's no snow on the ground. Next week, we're going to start Advent. Tonight, you can come back and get your bellies ready for Thanksgiving because we're going to have pie and praise. But today, we're going to see the Apostle Paul. He's going to start to finish this letter. He's starting to wind it down to these dear saints with the book of Romans. Maybe there's something that you wanted to accomplish in 2015. Well, you've got 38 days left, either that or you can just wait until January 1st. But there can be times when someone gets taken away unexpectedly or something drastically changes, like a change in job or occupation, a coworker leaves or gets fired, a person or a loved one is here today and gone the next. You wish that you had just one more conversation with that person. You wish you could have just one more hug, one more whatever. There's times that we have regret. Today, the Apostle Paul, he's going to tell the believers in Rome his purpose for writing to them, and he's kind of giving him his swan song. He's going to finish the letter with intentional, gospel-saturated speaking and encouragement with the end goal to be that of gospel ministry, to not only win the lost, but also to encourage the saved. He's going to say what he has to say and then leave it for them. But again, how often someone has passed on and we wish that we could have had just a few more minutes to tell them something. Today, Paul, he's just going to say what he has to say. And so we're going to pick up at Romans 15, at verse 14. Romans 15, verse 14 says, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see. And those who have not heard shall understand." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. As I said, Paul, he's closing out this letter. He says that he's confident that they are full of goodness and knowledge. Today, I want to point out three aspects that I see from the text that Paul and the Holy Spirit are telling us today. So three aspects or three examples that we as believers are to be doing, and they all start with E. And so the first is to be an encourager, verses 14 through 15. Notice, he didn't say, "Are you so dull?" as Jesus would often talk with the 12 in the Gospels. But here, Paul, he gives them what's called a compliment sandwich. You know, when you give about to give some criticism by softening those statements with positive statements, but in the middle is some kind of constructive criticism. It's like saying, good pastor sermon. All right. If I can talk right. Good passage, pastor. However, you didn't cover such and such, fill in the blank, you know, but good sermon. Please don't tell me good sermon. Tell me how it was helpful for you, how you're going to implement things into your life. But everybody likes encouragement, and it's an aspect that should come naturally. We all need at some time or another to be encouraged. And if you remember, our God is the God of all comfort, the God of consolation. Comfort received after a loss of disappointment. We don't worship saints of lost causes or patron saints. We worship one God, one Lord, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, and He is enough. Here, Paul, he's not just giving obligatory compliments. I believe that these are sincere, genuine compliments he's given. He says, I am confident that you are full of goodness and knowledge. Paul, he's being an encourager to believers at Rome, and we're to be encouragers of one another as well. Paul says that a born-again believer has the knowledge and the wherewithal to do what is right because they have the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit living within them. When they have confessed Jesus as Lord and they believe that God the Father has raised Jesus from the dead, they have the Holy Spirit. Paul, he calls them brethren. He tells them that they're full of goodness and knowledge, and they're able to admonish, they're able to encourage, they're able to teach one another. Everyone as a believer has the ability to lift up his brother and sister in Christ, and we're all called to encourage one another, to bear one another's burdens. Verse 15, he says, nevertheless, so here comes the criticism. Brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, reminding you because of the grace given to me by God. Paul says you're full of goodness, you're full of knowledge, you can teach one another, but I've unfortunately had to write to you to remind you of some things. Some things related to grace, things about how we are to deal with one another, how we're to love one another in the body of Christ, how to deal with one another as a family. That's the criticism. I shouldn't have had to write to you so boldly and not to argue about eating foods or days, but sometimes we just have to be reminded, we just have to hear some helpful criticism. Here he says, I've written as a reminder. There are times that we all need reminders. We forget some things at times, some more than others. When you go home this afternoon and you make that pie for pie and praise, you're going to set a timer, I hope. You're going to set a reminder to take it out of the oven to make sure that it doesn't get burnt. We all need reminders. Paul, in other places, he's been called weak and unimpressive. In 2 Corinthians 10:10, talking about what others say of himself, Paul says, for his letters, they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible or unimpressive. He says here in verse 15 that the only way that Paul could preach the gospel, the only way that you and I can preach the gospel is because of the grace of God. It's all by grace. It's not of ourselves, not because of our own merit. And you're probably familiar with Ephesians 2. Let me read it to you. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. The gospel is all about grace. It's nothing what you and I have done. Let me also point out to you what the Apostle Paul tells his fellow worker Titus. In Titus 3:4, he says, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." The key point about the gospel is that it is a gift. It is not a reward. It's not something earned but given. The work was done by God because we were helpless. We were dead in our sins and our trespasses, but God has made us alive in Christ Jesus. It was only by grace that Paul was able to write the letter to the Romans. It's only by grace that he was able to preach. It's only by grace that you and I can come before a holy and a just God. When we are born again, when we're on gospel mission, we will be encouraged that our sins are forgiven. We will also want to encourage one another. We will want to bring others along in the faith. We're to be encouragers, because this world is full of discouragement. Just turn on the news. It's depressing. One of the gifts every believer can use is the gift of encouragement, not discouragement. Send a text, give a call, a card, pray, be on purpose to be an encourager. Be sincere. Don't be like Eddie Haskell. "What a lovely dress you have, Miss Cleaver." But be sincere in your encouragement. Remember, our God is the God of hope, and by the power of the Holy Spirit can fill you with all joy and peace. So be an encourager. The second aspect in order to be on gospel mission is to be empowered. Verses 16 to 19. In these verses, we see the Apostle Paul, he was empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 16 says, "That I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." Paul, he calls himself liturgical. That's the Greek for minister, liturgion. He's a minister of Jesus Christ to the ethnon, to the Gentiles. He's empowered by the Spirit of God. Now, there's no doubt that there had been some Jews that after reading the book of Romans, they didn't really like what Paul had to say, whether that had to be about legalism, about eating certain foods, or the mystery of God that also included Gentiles into the spiritual promises that were given to Abraham. Even though way back in Genesis, God had promised Abraham that in him and through Abraham, all nations shall be blessed. And this was ultimately fulfilled through the Messiah, Jesus, our Lord. But Paul says that there has nothing special about himself, but it was what God did through him by grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul, he's called himself the apostle to the Gentiles back in Romans 11, 13. He says the same thing in Ephesians 3. The apostle, he preaches to us the unsearchable riches of Christ. No one on this side of eternity is going to fully comprehend the fullness of the riches of Christ. Let me share with you Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's why so often we sing, though our sins they are many, his mercy is more. Hallelujah. You might be coming upon your worst week. You might be coming upon your worst month or your worst year. Hey, you're not the Cleveland Browns or the Tennessee Titans. If you don't have anything to be thankful for, be thankful God hasn't treated you or me as our sins deserve. If he did, we'd be worse than a turducken. That's a chicken stuffed inside of a duck, stuffed inside of a turkey. But if God treated us as our sins deserved, we'd be dead or we'd be in hell. We have grace to be thankful for this year. Every breath that we have, every morning, his mercies are new. Paul says that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable. He's labeled himself as a priestly minister. The Old Testament priests were the ones that served as the intermediaries between God and man. They offered sacrifices. They taught people the word of God. Jesus is now our high and only priest. He is the only mediator that we need. He's the only one holy enough to make intercession for you and me, because he was both fully God and fully man. And he gave his life as a ransom to pay for our sins, because we couldn't pay for them ourselves. The only sacrifice that could save us was himself, because we broke the law and he paid the fine. He took the punishment for us. Paul here, he's reiterating the fact that he is a minister of Jesus Christ, and he is ministering the gospel of God. Jesus is the gospel. The gospel means good news. It's the fact that Jesus came, he died for sins, he rose again, he's coming again, and he's going to make all things new. The best news of the gospel is that Jesus, God in human flesh, gave himself for us. God himself, he redeemed us. He bought us off the slave block so that we could have everlasting enjoyment with him, so that we might have fellowship with him and with one another. And for some reason, his ultimate plan, he decided to involve not just Jews, but Gentiles as well. So if you need something to be thankful for Thanksgiving, be thankful that God has allowed us as Gentiles, you and me, people of non-Jewish heritage, to be acceptable, to be sanctified, to be grafted in by the power of God. Let me paraphrase to you Romans 3:25. Romans 3:25, God the Father put Jesus Christ the Son forward as a propitiation, mercy seat, a payment, atonement, appeasing God's wrath by fulfilling justice through sacrifice. So through Jesus' blood, we receive it by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance and restraint, he had passed over former sins. We have reason to give thanks to God. That could almost make a Baptist shout. Almost. Amen. 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 Verse 18, it says, "For I will not dare to speak of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient." He's saying, hey, it wasn't because of me or my accomplishments that brought the Gentiles into obedience and saving faith. It is achieved because God worked in and through me. There wasn't a Benny Hinn crusade or smoke and mirrors or some kind of marvelous miracles that allowed the Gentiles to come in. Now, God did use miracles. He did use signs and wonders as a way to authenticate some of the apostles' teaching. But the goal wasn't anyone's claim to say, hey, look what I did. It was all on what Christ had done. It was all to be Christ-centered. He was the one to get the glory. Ministry was done largely by preaching Jesus. If you remember Romans 10:17, it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and by hearing by the word of God." Why God had decided to use hearing and preaching as the means by which we come to faith, I don't know exactly. But I'm glad for preaching so that I can have a job. But it's not seeing is believing, it's hearing that God uses. It's not go to this city or to that city, kiss this statue, kiss this rock, salute this flag, give this much. No, it's by hearing, by listening as the means. In Hebrew, to hear, shema, also means to obey. With little ones, you may have said, you better listen. Let me tell you, if I heard that from my mother or father, it implied obedience. Jesus is called the Word of God for a reason. We hear God's voice through his word. We develop the gift of faith. Now, we cannot manufacture it, but we can cultivate it. Paul says in verse 19, by the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. That was some 1,400 miles from Illyricum, which is also called Dalmatia. It covers Yugoslavia, Albania, Croatia. It's just east of Italy. If you have a map in the back of your Bible, you can take a look at that. But just about half the width of the U.S., from here to Miami, Florida, is 1,439 miles. That's how long of a place that Paul had his gospel ministry. He says, I fully preached the gospel of Christ. So we're to be encouragers. We're to be empowered. Finally, we are to be evangelistic. Verses 20 through 21. Notice Paul's desire for the lost. You can sense the apostle's love for the lost. He says in verse 20, and so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should be build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see. And those who have not heard shall understand. Paul, again, he's quoting from his favorite Old Testament prophet, Isaiah. Isaiah 52:15. In the context of Isaiah 52 is just before the suffering servant passage of Isaiah 53. Isaiah 52:13 says, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were established at you, so his visage, his face, was marred more than any man, his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Others' translations say mock, marvel, or wail many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider. Now, I think that's kind of a strange parallel that Paul is using to show that in Paul's preaching, that even though the Gentiles, they weren't looking for a Savior, they weren't looking for a promised Messiah or King, but they got one. In Isaiah 65:1, it says, I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am to a nation that was not called by my name. Now, Paul, he already used that quote back in Romans 10:20, but it would seem to have fit here as well as he's finishing his letter. Paul was told to be a light to the Gentiles to help bring salvation to the ends of the earth. This is also our commission, to go to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that Jesus had commanded. We're not commanded to stay. We're commanded to go. We're to go with the power of the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel, to not be ashamed of it, because it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. In verses 22 through 33, through the rest of the chapter, Paul's going to talk about his future plans to visit them. First, he's going to go to Jerusalem to deliver a love offering in order to help take care of the poor. According to historical and church tradition, Paul, he was martyred by a beheading in Rome around 65 AD. So Paul did make it back to Rome. Paul, he was on gospel mission. He desired to be determined to preach the gospel that was the power of God to everyone that believed. We're to be an encourager. We're to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we are to be evangelistic, even if people have heard the gospel message before. You might have people that say, I've heard it before. That may be okay for you. Listen, there are going to be times when people need to hear stuff a couple of times before it clicks, before the light comes on. You never know how God can use a conversation, a word of encouragement, a word of witness to change someone's spiritual trajectory for eternity. We're to be on gospel mission. We're to do it on purpose. Even if someone's heard it before, at least they know where you stand. On Thursday, many of you are going to be gathering around a table for a meal for Thanksgiving. What a great time to share what you are thankful for. That's the purpose of Thanksgiving, to give thanks and glory back to God for what He has done. Don't be afraid to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ has saved you from your sins. He's purchased you. He's redeemed you. He's called you His very own. Glorify the Lamb, the Christ, the Lord Jesus. He will give power by the Holy Spirit to help you be a witness. Next week, we're going to start Advent. This time of year seems people are more open to talk about spiritual matters. Chapter 16 of Romans, there's a lot of greeting of so-and-so, and you can look at it at your leisure. So let me go to the end. The end of the letter, Romans 16:25. This is the benediction of Romans. It says, "Now to Him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept since the world began, but now made manifest by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith, to God alone be wise, be glory, through Jesus Christ, forever and ever. Amen." This is God's word, and I say thanks be to God for it. Let's pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, I pray that You would help us to be on gospel mission for You. Would You stir us, Lord? Would You help us to be great commandment and great commission people. Lord, I pray even now that You would prepare us as we gather around the dinner table this upcoming Thursday for Thanksgiving. Because I know and I'm sure that religion and isn't always a popular topic because it can bring sharp disagreements. But as we've seen in the book of Romans, it says, how will they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, we've been given the name by which all shall be saved. It's at the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. As we've covered many times in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. O Lord, may we believe and help our unbelief. Thank you for the grace of the gospel. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that resides in believers. Lord, I ask that you would again help us to be on gospel mission. May we be encouraged. May we be empowered. May we be evangelistic. Thank you that we don't have to do it in our own power, because in our own power, we would fail. Thank you that you do not fail. Thank you for your love and for your grace. And pray all of these things in Jesus' name.